Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. It's me. It's Vince. Welcome to Movie Talk with Vince. We're going to talk about the movie. This week, we're not going to be That's right, it's Movie Talk with Vince. I'm Vince. We're going to talk about the movies. Like I said, we're going to talk this week about a couple of movies that I just saw recently. Weird, the Al Yankovic Story, premiering on the Roku channel last week. Clerks 3, which actually has been playing in theaters for a while now. I got to see that here in Red Bank and at the Count Basie Theater. I was one of the first people to see it. I don't think I've talked about that yet on my show, so I do want to talk about that. And I also want to talk about the most recent film I just saw recently, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, or Wakanda Forever. I always said that wrong. And give you my feelings on that. So let's get it started. Every night. All right. So before I do want to give out a quick, a couple of disclaimers. Number one, be warned, you're about to hear my opinion. Oh, my God. Scary thing. Opinion. Opinions which seem to be getting people into a lot of trouble lately because, well, God forbid they actually feel something about something. And, you know, that you might get offended by it. Well, sorry, if you're offended by opinions, well, that's the way life is. Deal with it, buddy. So you got to hear my opinion. Be warned. I may not like what you like, and I may love what you don't love. So, hey, that's just the way life is. And I would not want it any other way. Also, be warned, this is a movie show, so I may give important spoilers out. I'm going to try not to. I'll stay away from the endings of the movie that I'm going to talk about. But, you know, be warned, I am going to talk about movies, so that might mean that I might give away certain plot points. You're like, oh, don't say that, but just giving you a heads up. So anyway, let's get started. First, all right, so what did I think about Black Panther? Well, first of all, let me say this. For those of you who don't know, one of the things that I love about the Marvel movies, and the reason why I love going to the Marvel movies, is because it's one of the things that I love doing with my father. Now, well, I'll talk a little bit about Kevin Smith and Clerks 3, but one of the things that Kevin Smith talks about is when he was a kid, one of the things that he and his dad used to do all the time was go to the movies. And I did that too. There's a lot of things I used to do with my dad when I was a kid. But as an adult, you know, you find it's harder and harder to find that one thing, especially if you're lucky enough to still have a parent that's alive. And both of mine still are very well, very healthy, and I consider myself very lucky that that's the case. Oh, quickly, I forgot to mention one thing at the top of my show. If you want to join in the chat, the guest call-in number is 914-205-5404. One more time, 914-205-5404. I always forget to mention that at the beginning of my show. So if you want to call in and join in the chat, feel free. Anyway, going back to Black Panther. So with the Marvel movies, my dad grew up reading those comics. He was more of a Marvel fan than a DC fan. He didn't really care for Superman and Batman. They were fine, but he loved Captain America, Spider-Man, the Hulk. These were his comics. Also because he didn't grow up in the 40s, he grew up in the 50s and the 60s. So that's when those comics were first coming out. So he remembers the first Captain America. He had that one. Same thing with Spider-Man and Incredible Hulk. He loved those guys. So when Spider-Man and Iron Man and all those films were first coming out, that was a connection that I had with my dad. Because even though I didn't grow up at that time, obviously, but I still loved those characters too. So he and I could go to the movies together with my mom or other people or sometimes just by ourselves. And we could just have a great time. And it was a good way for me to connect with my dad. So for me, the Marvel films are a great thing that my dad and I still have in common that we, not that we don't have other things in common, but, you know, it's the one thing that we do together that I just always love. And so this week I did get to see Black Panther with my dad, and I had a great time because it didn't matter how good or bad the film was, I was going with my dad. And that's, you know, that's a good thing, especially for me. And also, I get the feeling for him, too, because he and I don't really get a chance to see each other as often. You know, you're an adult, you do the whole cats in the cradle thing. You know, he grew up to be just like me. Now we have our own lives. Hey, that's what happens when you're an adult. But you know, it's the one thing that he and I make sure that when there's a new Marvel film, we definitely go together. Now, what was my opinion of the film? Now, the problem, and I'm not going to say this as a negative because I actually loved Wakanda Forever, but the issue that this film had going against it was that it's a sequel to a very popular Avengers film. It was the only Avengers, the first Black Panther, it was the only Avengers film that was nominated for Best Picture. So you've got that going against it. So you got all this hype now going, oh, my God, how are they going to measure up to almost Best Picture winner Marvel film? But also you have the other problem of your lead actor just died, and in a very tragic, sad way. He died of cancer. And unlike some other films, you're like, oh, well, that guy was a jerk anyway. No, Chadwick Boseman was supposedly a really great, kind man. I've never heard anybody say a negative thing about him. All the people that worked with him in the Black Panther or 24, was it 24, 21? I forget. The Jackie Robinson movie. With the James Brown movie he did. Everything he did, everybody worked with him was like, yeah, this guy was a good person. He did not deserve, and we didn't deserve him, and he didn't deserve to be taken away from us as young as he did. This guy should have been living well into his 90s, and it's a shame that he didn't even get to see, I think, 40. I think he was still only in his 30s when he died. Very young, very tragic, very sad. He had a family, and so with this film, you have to deal with, okay, well, how do we deal with that? How do we make a sequel to a movie where your lead actor is not available because he passed away? So there was obviously a couple things they could have done. Number one, they could have recast. And Kevin Feige, the head of Marvel, said, no, that was never going to happen. It wasn't even a consideration because Chadwick had played the part so well. He had become Black Panther. He became the character of T'Challa that there was no way they could even think of replacing him. And let's face it, what actor wants to do that? Yes, with the Harry Potter films, they were forced to replace the character of Dumbledore when Richard Harris died. They had no way around that. But with this, there was no actor would want to step into Chadwick Boseman's shoes and try and take over that part. So they're like, okay, so then what could we do next? Well, there is right now you could do CGI. It's gotten to the point now where you can replace actors with CGI characters, and they've done that. The Rogue One featured not one but two actors in the film, one of them who was just unfortunately like weeks away from dying, the other one had been dead for decades, and they put them both in the film. But they said with Black Panther, that was also never going to be a consideration. They were never going to replace, have another actor step in, and then just put Chadwick's face on top of it. And they're like, no, we're not going to do that either. That's just wrong. Because then what are you going to do? They have to keep doing that from film after film after film, always. And like, no. So, and they thought, well, we could do that and kill the character off. And they're like, again, no. To honor Chadwick, what they just had to do was, let's kill off his character. Let's have the character die, and we'll just make the film an homage to him. And that's what it is. The Wakanda Forever is very much, for those who haven't seen it yet, I will warn you, it is a 2.5-hour love letter to Chadwick Boseman, the actor, the person, and also to the character of T'Challa and his performance as T'Challa. It honors him, and that is, to me, one of the best ways to handle this. I walked out of that theater going, wow, that was the best love letter to an actor I've ever seen, and it was so good. And what I also loved about Wakanda Forever was that it wasn't an action film. Yes, it has action in it. Yes, it's a comic book movie. Yes, it has the supernatural elements of the main villain is, a guy from Atlantia, basically Atlantis, Namor the Submariner, who can breathe underwater, can breathe above water, can fly because he's got wings on his ankles. He has pointed ears. So, yeah, this doesn't happen in real life. But it does have that comic book element to it. It is a comic book movie. Yes, it is. It does have its share of action. But that's not where the heart of the film is. The film is more about the characters, how they are dealing with the loss of their brother, son, king, hero, and how they're dealing with that, how they're moving on. And it's more about, so the film, the way I look at it is it's more about the characters, the story, and action third, which is something that a lot of people will probably be kind of confused by. So if you're the type of person who who thinks that the Marvel and the comic book movies are just roller coaster rides. They're theme park things. They're not just something to be taken seriously. You need to watch this movie. This is a film that declares that the comic book world needs to be taken seriously. And these characters are taken seriously. The story is taken very seriously. This is an emotional roller coaster ride. This is not an action adventure. I'm going to put my brain on hold while I just watch, you know, people who can fly fight other people who can fly and shoot lasers out of their eyes and whatever. No, this is not that movie. It does have its elements of it. It's still a comic movie. Don't get me wrong. It is a comic book movie, but it's a comic movie that has something to say, and it has a lot of heart, and it has a lot of story. And I have to say, out of 10 stars, I give this one a 9. I have to give this one a 9. I don't know if I would say it's better than the original. The original had much more action, was much more fun in that respect, but this one had a much more intelligent story. It had something more deep to say, mostly because they were forced to, but you know, rather than ignore the fact that this actor died, they embraced it, and embraced it in a beautiful way. It's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful film. And so I couldn't recommend it any higher. It's a great movie. All right. So that's my review of Black Panther. So now this past week, I did see another movie, a movie called Weird, The Outlander Experience.
You thought you knew me? Well, you better guess again. Now you know the whole story. Now you've heard it all, my friend. You know all my dirty secrets.
All right, so now for those of you who don't know, Weird, the Al Yankovic story, is based on a trailer that Weird Al Yankovic made, I don't know, about 5 years ago or whatever it was, for a website called Funny or Die. Now, Weird Al and a friend of his, I forget the director's name, and I need to learn it. And for those of you out there who know the director's name, you just shout it out. Oh, I can't hear you. Anyway, so this Weird Al and this director came up with an idea of, well, all these biopic movies were coming out. You know, the Johnny Cash movie, Ray, the Ray Charles movie, the Bohemian Rhapsody and Rocketman hadn't come out yet. But there's been a long history of 60s and 70s rock stars being turned into major motion pictures, stories about The Doors, and so on and so forth. So they thought, well, wouldn't it be funny if we did a movie kind of like The Doors, but starring Weird Al Yankovic? Now, as most people know, Weird Al has had the most scandal-free, the most tragic thing that's ever happened to Weird Al was when his parents died. And it was very sad and tragic, but it wasn't scandalous. They forgot to put their flu up, and the carbon monoxide killed them in their sleep. And that's it, at the end of the story. There's no weird drug thing. It wasn't any weird kind of, it was nothing weird. It was something that happened to thousands of people every day. It was a mistake that they made that thousands and millions of other people have made, and it's an easy mistake to make, and it's unfortunately a tragic mistake. It's like leaving a child or a pet or somebody else in a very hot car. It happens. You don't want it to happen, but it happens. And that's the most tragic thing that's happened to Weird Al Yankovic. For everything else, he's never had a scandal. He doesn't drink. He's never, you know, overeaten or whatever. He's a vegetarian. He's a good person. He's never been involved in he's not a scandal. So making a movie that's about a guy who's filled with scandal is hysterical. And if there's one thing that Weird Al knows how to do, then that is do parodies. And so that's what the original trailer was. It was a parody of that type of thing. Well, it was very funny. And so years later, people kept saying, why don't you turn it into an actual movie? We would love to see a full-length feature that was a parody of those biopics about you. So he said, okay. So he came up, he wrote the story himself. I think he co-wrote the screenplay with other people, but the story is basically his, the jokes are his. And he saw Daniel Radcliffe on the Graham Norton show singing some song, and he thought, I think this guy gets it. So he reached out to Dan, who had never met Weird Al, was a huge fan of Weird Al, but had never met him before, and reached out to him and said, would you want to play me in a movie? And Dan was like, how soon can we start shooting? Yes. Oh, my God. So, yeah, giving the offer to play Harry Potter when he was 10 years old was absolutely wonderful, of course. But then, you know, some 30 years later or whatever it is, getting offered to play Weird Al Yankovic, he's like, yes, oh, my God, can I? Can I please? Well, 20 years later, can I please? So he did. Weird Al taught him how to play accordion. he gave him his own, you know, he wanted his own accordion to play on, and off and running. And I have to say, now I said this, and I said this to my dad when we went to go see Black Panther, was that lately I've been feeling like there hasn't been any truly great comedy. There have been some funny things, especially on TV or streaming services like Schitt's Creek or Only Murders in the Building, but there hasn't been any great comic movie out there like Airplane or Animal House or Austin Powers or any of the Jim Carrey movies in the 90s. These are movies that when they came out, they spawned catchphrases that everybody said, all righty then, and stuff like that. And there haven't been something that was, and there hasn't been any of those comedies like that way. At best, there's been sequels to those comedies, but there hasn't been anything truly original. Until I saw, well, first Clerks 3 I thought was hysterical, but I'll get into that in a minute. But then Weird Al's movie was like, oh my God, this is someone who gets it. This was a movie that is like, yes, this is up there with Airplane, up there with Animal House, you know, Austin Powers, the Wayne's World movies, whatever. Even Pink Panther, the Marx Brothers, and yeah, any of those, any of the great classic comedies of the last 100 years, Weird Al Yankovic movies got to be up there because it was original. Al knows how to parody, and so he does parody, and he parodies his own life. He's in the movie, not as himself, but he does play a different character in the movie. I won't say what it is, but I'm trying to stay away from spoilers, except that this was a damn funny movie. Now, I am going through my own share of problems in the last couple of weeks, which I don't need to go into. We all have our up days. We all have our down days. And well, I was going through a down day, and so I knew that the Al Yankovic movie was coming out. So I was like, okay, so I grabbed it on my phone, clicked on the link that my friend sent to me, watched it, spent about an hour and a half in bed watching this movie and hurting so much I was laughing. I was like, my throat was feeling so dry. I was like, I'm going to die watching this movie because it's making me laugh so hard. My upstairs neighbor is probably like, what the hell is he watching? I was like, watch the Al movie. It's hysterical. Watch it. Watch it. So to anybody out there, all I have to say is watch the Al Yankovic movie. It is absolutely hysterically insane because bizarre, because Weird Al Yankovic's life is anything but serious. And it goes into such a bizarre left field that you're just going, I don't think anything happened to Weird Al Yankovic. You know, it turns him into like a parody of Jim Morrison and every other great dramatic 70s film. But it also plays with the fact that one of the things that I know people complained about with Rocket Man and especially Bohemian Rhapsody was how they played fast and loose with history. The Doors, the surviving members of the Doors hated that movie because they were like, that's not our life story. That's not Jim Morrison on that screen. Yes, Val Kilmer did a great job impersonating the image of Jim Morrison, but they were like, there's a whole other side of him that wasn't in that movie. And most of the events in that film did not happen that way. And so Weird Al decided, okay, I'm going to write a story that's based on my life that didn't happen at all, but my life really came about. And spoiler alert, the ending really comes out of left field. One of the things I love about Tarantino movies is how his movies go in a direction that you never know how on earth this story is going to wrap up. And I can tell you, Al's movie ends in a way that I went, what? And I won't play the rest of the song because the song, if you listen to Weird Al's song, he spoils the ending of the movie. So I would say watch the movie before you listen to the rest of the Weird Al Yankovic playing earlier. This one. Oh, nope. It's over. Anyway, so I can't recommend Weird the Al Yankovic story any higher. If you want a good laugh, you have to watch this movie. Because what's also great about Al is that he has a very religious background. And so he pretty much honors that by staying clean. And that's another reason why you can watch this with your family. Anybody can watch this movie because it's hysterically funny and there is nothing gratuitous about it. There's no language in it. There's no nudity in it. There's drinking in it and there's smoking, but it's done in a very funny way. None of it is done as, oh yeah, you should smoke, you should drink. No. When Al drinks and Al smokes, in itself it's funny because he never did either. It's funny. It's hysterically funny. It reminded me of Airplane in a very, very, very good way. It was, to me, it's like the funniest film since Airplane. It is hysterical. Now, one of the other funny movies that I saw this, the end of this year was, of course, Clerks 3. I was very lucky. I got to buy tickets to see the very first showing of Kevin Smith's convenience store. Now, what he's been doing is after he made this movie here in Red Bank, New Jersey, which is where I'm doing my show in Matawan, New Jersey, but just outside of Red Bank, or just not too far from it. And what he did was, after the film was over, he went back to Red Bank, went to the Count Basie Theater, and he started what he called his convenience store, where he was going to show the movie and come out, introduce it himself, show the movie, then afterwards do a Q&A with the audience. And he's been doing that throughout the country, and I think even into Canada. And just, you know, showing the movie, coming out, talking to it, and then flying back here home to Red Bank, where he has just opened his own movie theater. He bought actually the old movie house that he used to go to movies with his dad when he was a kid. And he's been doing commentary on his own films like every Tuesday night. So in different movie every Tuesday. And he'll come out and he'll talk to him and say, hey, this is how I filmed this scene. This is how I did that. Anyway, so with Clerks 3, what I love about it is that this is also a brilliant movie, and I would love to see Kevin get nominated for an Oscar, if anything, just for the screenplay, because it's a brilliant screenplay. Basically, what happened was, back in the early 90s, Kevin was a 20-year-old kid who just wanted to break into movies, so he, overnight, after he got off work, just got his friends together and just filmed scenes that eventually he was able to edit together to make a full-length feature film. It's very low budget. The guy didn't know what he was doing for the most part. He went to a film school for a couple of months, and that's the only thing he really knew. He had never made a film. He never made a short, never did anything before in his life. His first attempt at making a movie was making a movie, and it almost didn't work. It could have failed miserably and never been seen again, but he was lucky. It got seen by the right people who eventually took it to Harvey Weinstein. Boo. But back when Harvey Weinstein was just a director and not a well-known rapist. But anyway, he was able to get to Harvey, who re-edited the film, put some real music on it, and released it theatrically, and it became a big hit. And it gave Kevin a career. So then about 10 or 15 years later, he remembered that film and went, I really want to see whatever happened to those characters. So he wrote a second film. By this point, he was an now older person. He was no longer this 23-year-old kid wanting to tell dirty jokes. He was now a 40-year-old man with a kid and married, and wanted to tell a more intelligent story. And that's where Clerks 2 came in. And Clerks 2, I think, is a better film because it's better made. It's in color. It's got he has a budget. He's able to do proper editing and use actual real professional actors like some really good people in the film. And it's in its film overall. And it also has something more to say. And then 10 years later, he decided he wanted to revisit those characters one more time. He wrote a version of Clerks 3, which he decided not to shoot. Instead, did it as a film a fundraiser for the First Avenue Playhouse in Atlantic Highlands, where he did his auditions originally for the first film, and did it to raise money for the theater because they were in desperate need of repairs. He did that, and then decided to throw out that script because he just had a heart attack and said, I got a better idea. I know how to end this trilogy, and came up with what we have now, Clerks 3. And it is absolute wonderful film. It is like Weird Al Yankovic's film, hysterically funny. The characters are now still working at that Quick Stop, but they're now 50 years old, and one of them suffers a heart attack just like Kevin did, and the story goes on from there. He decides he wants to make a movie, and he starts making the movie Clerks. And so the film is hysterically funny because it still has that same type of humor. It's still the same guys in the same location. But this time around, the film has much more to say about life, about growing up, about growing old, and realizing that your time on Earth is short. You never know. I mean, Kevin himself nearly died from his heart attack. He had what was called a widowmaker. He had a massive heart attack. Not a little one. He had a massive heart attack. According to Kevin, 80% of the people who have the type of heart attack he had die. He's during the Q&A when I saw the film, he talked about that. He said that he ran into a number of people after he had his heart attack who said, oh, my God, yeah, a friend of mine had that kind of heart attack. He's like, oh, really? How is he? Oh, he's dead. Oh, well, yeah. And someone was like, yeah, my mom had that type of heart attack. Oh, really? How is she doing? Oh, yeah, she died. But everyone he talked to died from that level of a heart attack. So he realized to himself that his time on Earth was precious. And you never know how quickly your life can be blinked out. Let's face it, people went to 9/11 or get involved in a car accident or whatever, you don't expect to die that day, especially if you're not, 99 years old and riddled with cancer and you realize, okay, I'm dying. No, you're like 60 years old and suddenly it's like, I'm walking on the street. Ow, my heart hurts. Boom, you're dead. You weren't expecting that. And Kevin and Clerks 3 is that type of movie. It's a film that says your time on Earth is precious, so you better do something with it. And also it's a love letter, like the way Black Panther was a love letter to Chadwick Boseman. Clerks 3 is a love letter to his career and to his fans. And at the end of the movie, closing credits, Kevin has a little bit of a voiceover where he talks about a scene that he didn't film that he decided to cut out of the movie, but he decided to read it because it was a voiceover. He decided to read it for the credits, but also at the end, he just thanks all of his fans, everybody coming to see the movie, buying the movie on DVD, renting it, or whatever. Everybody who paid even just $5 to see his movie, that's why he still has a career. He has a career because people want to see his stuff. And so he is so appreciative of that. He never forgets it. So Clerks 3 is a love letter to his career, his first film, and more importantly to his fans who have been there along the way on this journey with him. And the film is so good because it's funny. It is just as funny as the first film. A lot of the same, I don't want to say the same jokes, the humor is there. He was able to come back to New Jersey to film it. They went back. A lot of the people who had been friends with him, been in that first film, been with him along the way, including Joe Bagnol and Donna Jean, who appeared in two separate scenes in that film and who gave him a chance to hold his audition at their theater. And that's where he met Brian and a bunch of the other actors and Jeff. He didn't know them. He was going to cast somebody else in those parts. But he went to that theater, got auditioned. They showed up because they had been doing theater. They had been doing shows at that theater. And he was like, oh, my God, you're good. Can you be in my movie? And he's like, yeah. She's like, yeah. He's like, yeah. So now some 40 years later, they all have careers thanks to that thing. So so Kevin's also – it's also a love letter to the First Avenue Playhouse, which he includes in the movie for the first time. Got the film there. And I was doing theater there myself, so I actually was in production – actually in rehearsals for a show while he was filming. So I had to wait for him to leave before we could start our rehearsals, whatever. So it was very funny. So, Kevin, if you're out there, hey, I remember you were pushing me aside so that you can film your movie. It's okay. I saw the movie, and it was worth it. Definitely worth it, without a doubt. So the three films that I'm reviewing today, I have to give them all 9 at the minimum. Black Panther was a brilliantly written movie. Weird Al Yankovic was one of the funniest films I've seen in years. And Clerks 3 was actually the best of both. It was funny, 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 and then at the end, it just punched you in the gut and say, oh, by the way, this isn't a comedy. This is a drama, and it's a drama about life that can happen to all of you. So watch yourself. Take care of your health. It's very much a pro take care of yourself because you could suffer a heart attack just like Kevin did with no warning. So be careful. Take care of yourself and do something with your life. Don't sit around going like Dante does in the first film, like, oh, I'm so sad, my life. Like, you know what? As Randall says to him, you know, shit or get off the pot. Do something with your life. Don't just sit around. And that's what Clerks 3 is all about. It's just don't sit around because you don't know when your time is up. So go do something. And I need to take that to heart, too. It's one of the reasons why I started doing blog talk again. And everybody out there, you need to do that, too. Anyway, so that's it. So here I am about to wrap up my show. I got about a minute left. So I want to say thank you all for listening. So my love letter to all you guys is that you listened to my show for the last 30 minutes. And anybody who listened to the other shows from the last couple of weeks and the last couple of years, go out and check them out. I've got them all here on Blog Talk Radio. Anyway, so thank you all for listening. And if I say anything, remember, as I always say, don't take my word for it. Go out, check out these movies. Check out Weird, the Al Yankovic Story on Roku. Clerks 3, that's available on streaming services as well as in theaters, in select theaters. And Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, which is available in all kinds of theaters and will be available on Disney Plus probably by next week. Anyway, so thank you all for listening. And remember, let's all go to the movies. Good night, everybody. And I'll check you all next week when I go see some other movies. And we'll see what I talk about then. Take care. Good night.